Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
So we have capacity for so much more. And where does that capacity come from? We are made to express something to Him. And if you can't get to Him, you don't know how to do that, you find something.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is unlike anyone else, where he shares the life-changing message of the gospel in a way that's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. We know that life is pretty challenging these days, but these talks will help you meet those challenges head-on with biblical truth, encouragement, and direction. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellis.com. So, let's jump right in with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is King Sing. And before we even jump into this, for anyone listening beyond here that's not here today, part of our service today, we did communion. The way we do it, when we do it in the service, we have these little plastic containers of juice and a wafer on the top. You peel the deal off, we eat the wafer, peel it again, and drink the juice. And what you don't know unless you're here, that I didn't know would even happen, is that the individuals who passed out those containers just came back through and picked up our trash. And it's a very powerful image that He died, body broken, bloodshed. And when we partake of what He offered, He picks up our trash. Never forget that. Part of the reason you went to Jesus in the first place is you couldn't carry your trash anymore. And I know in my own life and in the lives of the people that I spend time with, sometimes the trash will crush you. It almost causes you to want to take your own life. And I've said on a number of occasions again this week, the specific people who are being crushed by the weight of sin, something that someone did to them, or sin, something they did, and they can't carry that weight. And I'm telling you, you think, well, I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to get counseling, and all those things might be good. But at some point, you will never make it without Jesus. Amen. You just will not make it. You say, well, I got Him for the hereafter. You're going to need Him for the here. Because this life is a whooping. This planet, there's some beautiful places, but there's some dark places and dark people. And to gather as a church and remember what He's done for us and how valuable that is and what that provides for us, not just in heaven, but between here and heaven, you should never take that for granted. And don't abuse this amazing grace as we sing about. Let's start today in the Psalms. And I'd like you just to turn to Psalm 1. And we're not going to read all the Psalms unless you just want to stay a while. But there's something very fascinating about the Psalms specifically. And some of the stuff you read in the Bible, you say, well, it's just an editorial. Somebody put a heading. But in the Psalms, a lot of times the headings are scripture. It's not just something put in there to explain what you're about to read. And it doesn't take long till you get in the Psalms. Turn to Psalm chapter 4. And what does it say under Psalm 4? What's the heading? To the chief musician, with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. So now we don't just have poetry, now we got music. And you say, well, we don't have the notes. We don't know what they sang. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we know that if God, and since God wrote all this through these individuals, that even the music that was written by God. So there is something about music that comes out of the heart of God Himself. So He is a writer of music, a producer of music, and turns out a producer of musicians and singers. And that would be us. And made man with capacity to create instruments. And all of that was intended out of His own heart, pushed through us. And what is supposed to happen is all of that is to generate praise back to Himself because He is worthy to be worshiped. Sometimes people think, well, God sure is cocky. He wants everybody worshiping Him. He's not cocky. He's God. And when you get to that level, you deserve it because that's just who He is. And there is something in the way that we are made that causes us to want to worship. And I know I repeat this, and I really highly recommend this, You can go to the Premier League if you're a soccer fan. Just pull up music of football. And, you know, I hear men say, well, I'm just reserved. And, you know, people in church raise their hands and sing loud. And I'm so uncomfortable with that. You get a couple of beers in you at a soccer game and all of a sudden the hands get light. Banners held up, stretched out, screaming songs of worship or praise or whatever. You say, well, where's that coming from? They have found something that moves them from the inside out, and they in unison, and there's no choir director in a football stadium. It's just all of a sudden it breaks out. And I've watched enough soccer in my life, and I hear the music. It's just throbbing, boom, boom, throughout the whole game. And you look down at the score, you're watching the game, you go, that team's getting killed. They don't care. They love their team. They went to sing. They went to celebrate. That's where they worship. So we have capacity for so much more. And where does that capacity come from? We are made to express something to Him, ultimately. And if you can't get to Him, you don't know how to do that, you find something. So you go through the Psalms. You say, well, I don't know the music. Some people have put the Psalms to music. Some of the songs we sing, straight out of Scripture. Let me give you something to experiment with. Pick you a song, and it says to the chief musician with stringed instruments, if you play the guitar, just start singing. Get your guitar and make you up some music. You think, well, God's, you know, what's not the right tune? God doesn't care what you're singing if you're singing to Him, whether the instrument's right or great. We're His kids. I mean, I've had little kids in my house, and they, you know, sing terrible when they're little sometimes. And rah, rah, rah. I got, you know, recordings of one of them in the shower. You know, Pocahontas, Pocahontas, just... And you stand outside the door and go, oh my gosh, that's the most beautiful sound in the world. Terrible, but beautiful. They're just singing. You've got this in you. You've got a God worthy of praise. You've got a God who's written Scripture through talented musicians who has given you words to sing back to Him. And yet we won't worship Him because we picked other lovers, other things, everybody but Him. I'd like you to go to Zephaniah. I know you do not believe it is in your Bible. Zephaniah chapter 3. We all there? Zephaniah 3:1. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed His voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to God. No, the city they're talking about is Jerusalem. And so God is speaking through the prophet to this city and calling out what's happening and what's not happening. So rebellious, polluted, oppressing, not obeyed His voice, not received correction, not trusted in the Lord, not drawn near to her God. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Her prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning He brings His justice to light. He never fails, but the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their fortresses are devastated. I have made their streets desolate with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed. There is no one, no inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction so that her dwelling would not be cut off, despite everything for which I punished her. But they rose early and corrupted all their deeds. So no matter how much God warns them, no matter how shameless their behavior, their lives are, no matter how He tries to get their attention, they just keep plowing. Is that you? He's tried everything in the world, consequence, discipline. He keeps coming, and nothing seems to get your attention. And there's no way but destruction for you to finally be stopped. I have been on the end of shame. I have seen, I have sat with people who have run every trap, and there's nothing left to do, and it has all collapsed on them. And I have seen weeping, guttural weeping from inside a person, remorse, shame, pain like you have never seen. You say, well, how did it get to that? Because warning after warning after warning, discipline after discipline, challenge after challenge, unheeded, I can do what I want to do. I'll sin the more that grace may abound. No consequence. God will forgive me. I'm going to abuse grace. I'm just going to, you know, there's nothing. He can't touch me. And you keep plowing. You keep plowing. And God may give you what you want, let you go do all that, but you may not want what you get when it's all done. Because sin ends up in death. You say, well, I haven't died. How about your relationship with him? Does it feel dead? Keep reading. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. My worshipers, the daughters of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day, you shall not be ashamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the King of Israel. The Lord is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. Now listen to these next few verses. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, lest your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. And look at the next line. He will rejoice over you with singing. When does the king sing? Do you know how to make the king sing? I've always thought about it being us worshiping him. It's not him worshiping us. But what if it gets to the place where God himself is triggered and has to sing? It can also be translated rejoice. What are you doing that causes the king to sing? Or what are we doing that keeps him from that? Now, this isn't very complicated. People say, well, you talk about walking with God and walking in the Spirit and all, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, all these things you talk about. You know, I don't understand. Here's how simple this is. You either are a Christian or you're not. And if you are not a Christian, then the hound of heaven is outside your door, calls your name, maybe a friend, a family member, a stranger, a preacher, begs and pleads with you to be reconciled to God. And you say no, and that's your business, but that will cost you. But let's say you respond to that. The only way to respond is to say, God, I'm a sinner. I admit it. I have nowhere to hide anymore. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died on the cross, buried, raised from the dead for me. Come live in me, through me, in the person of the Holy Spirit. If you go back 50 days after Jesus leaves, what happens? Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit shows up in a powerful way. The same Spirit of God that showed up on the day of Pentecost moves inside your body. You cannot have a holy God living inside of your body and not know that. You say, well, I don't understand what you mean about walking in the Spirit. It is this simple. He convicts you of sin, and you either say, you're right, God, I'm wrong, you're right, I confess it. I know you're faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness and move forward. But if you harden your heart, if you get stiff-necked, if you say, no, I don't want to hear what he has to say. I will not pay attention to that. And you put your fingers in your proverbial spiritual ears and start la, 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 la on your way through life, and we don't deal with our sin, then the singing stops. It's always fascinating to me when things are not right between me and Jesus, and I don't want to hear his music. I don't want to hear his songs. A good indicator that things are okay between you and Jesus, you're either singing to him or about him. to other people or just by yourself, you'll have a song, you'll have worship. And this is something that people forget or don't know. For me, unfortunately, I grew up in a situation where I had to sing. It was very sad. It was part of a little dog and pony show as I look back on it. And my dad decided the three kids were going to sing and go and preach revivals. And he'd put us up. And we had to have a testimony. We had to have a song. And pretty soon I hated singing. But I sing now to him. I had to sing when I was young. I get to sing now. And it's a difference. And you say, well, you know, I come a little late because I just come for the sermon. You're not going to like heaven too much because there's not going to be any sermons in heaven. There's going to be a lot of singing. A lot of singing. And if the sermons aren't leading you to singing, they ain't working. Oh, I just want more scripture. I want more of the word. I want to go deeper. You want to go deeper? Climb in your closet and start singing to Jesus. That'll get you some deep water. Oh, no, I'm just going to study the Bible. If you study the Bible and it does not result in worship, you're studying the Bible wrong. You are not applying what you're studying. The scriptures will drive you to the throne. All right, go to one other place, Luke chapter 15, and go finish Zephaniah. It's not hard. Luke chapter 15, and if you know me very well, you know Luke 15 is a big deal to me because I learned some stuff in this chapter I never knew. And if you go down, this whole chapter talks about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And by the way, at the end of each of these stories, God throws a party. God is a party in God in the purest sense, rejoicing. Look at the end of this story, Luke 15, verse 8. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, I found it. Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Now you say, well, what are they talking about? Let's say you had a diamond necklace and you had 10 diamonds. And you look down your diamond necklace and there's a diamond missing. Ah, well, I still got 9. You tear the house up looking for that diamond if it has value. And see, this is the thing that for some reason I never grasped as a kid. And I'm telling you, I know now somewhere deep inside of me, I have value. This God, Father God, he loves me. And I know how to make the king sing. I know how to sing to him, but he'll sing back. So you think, well, I hear that you say he loves me. I don't feel that. I don't know that. It doesn't mean it's not true just because you don't feel it. So don't give up on the fact of him loving you. Be patient and say, Lord, the problem is probably with me, not with you. And I don't have a category for accepting or receiving this kind of love. I just don't believe it's possible. And for me, I was such a scumbag. You know, as a young man, I thought, if anybody ever finds out what I am really thinking and doing, I'm going to get burned, you know, double crispy in hell somewhere. I'm dead, you know. It's over. So I could never tell anybody what was going on. And I thought, you just live in fear all the time. You've got to get to the place that you start with. He loves you, or he never would have sent his son Jesus into this mess to save you. You say, well, it doesn't include me. You got no verses for that. It's you, that none should perish. He loved the world. That's everybody. You say, oh, well, I only believe it's the select, the elect. You know what? Don't go too far off on that. I believe in all that too, but I tell everybody if I get a chance. So he loves you. Let him love you. You say, well, he wouldn't come looking for you. He already did. He came looking for you before you even existed. While we were yet sinners before the foundation of the world, he came looking for us, knowing we'd come and need him. So you say, well, you think you're better than somebody else. No, I just am good enough to be his kid because he made me good enough to be his kid. And he knows everything about me and loves me anyway. So rejoice with me, I've found the peace which I lost. And then look what he says. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And I've shared this before, and I'm sharing it again in this context today. I saw that. That was read to me by the old man Claude in a Bible study, and he read that, and I'm telling you, heaven opened, and I saw something I had never seen in my life. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Who is in the presence of the angels of God? God. So there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Where is it emanating from? It's him. It's like the angels just go, here he goes again. Now see, if you don't have a category for that, you're missing something. And if you're a father, it would seem almost impossible that you could miss this. I've been going to programs for decades. If you've ever been to a kindergarten graduation, and there's dozens of kids up on the stage, you know how many there are up on the stage to me? There's one kid. My camera, my attention, everything. Those other children don't exist. They're just in the way. In fact, you're in front of my baby. Please move over. Right? And every once in a while, you glance around and go, oh, they're cute, but not like my kid. Look at my kid. Ooh, that didn't turn out so well, but look at my kid. Right? They can be 2. They can be 30. Now, what is that? I'm their dad. I'm their dad. I got one of those dads. He's my dad. So he looks down and he goes, ooh, what you doing? What I want to. And see, I used to think that when that little exchange took place, he stopped loving me. Doesn't happen. He'll discipline me, but his love never changes for me. Never changes. So no matter what my kids have ever done to screw up, the issue was never the love. It had nothing to do with love. It had everything to do with love. In fact, if I disciplined them, because that proved that I loved them. And that's what you find in Scripture. So if you're living like hell and heaven's not responding, you might make sure you're headed to heaven. Because if you're disobeying and not getting a whooping, something's not right. You say, well, are you trying to say that God's singing there in Luke 15? I don't know what's going on, but there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one person getting found, getting rescued. One person. One coin, one sheep, one son, one you, one somebody you. Part of the reason we still reject him is that we think he still rejects us. You can't have the creator of the entire universe singing over you and say that he doesn't like you or doesn't love you. Now you say, well, I haven't given him any reason to sing in a while. Let's give him some reason. Let's see if we can get the king to sing. You say, well, how would I do that? Obey. Trust him. Walk with him. If he points out a sin, say, you're right. I'm wrong. I confess that. If you cover it, he'll uncover it. If you uncover it, he'll cover it. You say, but I want to do what I want to do. You won't indefinitely. I got a room full of people, and I can start with me, who for a long period of time, maybe still, did whatever you wanted to do. And you wouldn't be sitting here listening to this if that had worked out so well. Amen. You'd still be out there doing that. And some of you still are. But some of you got sick and tired of being sick and tired and having no joy, no song, no nothing. And so you went looking for the king.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
I don't think it's that we don't hear God. I just think we don't like what we hear. He says, this has got to go. You say, no, it doesn't, not yet. He goes, okay, I love you anyway, but here we go. I am going to get your attention. And he does. So if there's a warrant out for your arrest, I recommend you turn yourself in. Now, I know that we have people here with actual warrants. I understand that. So I mean it in two ways, obviously. So if the Holy Spirit touches you today and says, you know what, this has got to go, and you're tired of arguing with him, and you say, okay, you're right, I'm wrong, I confess it, let's resolve this. If you tell him no again, that warrant sticks, and he is going to pick you up.
Amen.
It may be in pieces, but he is going to pick you up. And then he'll have to put you back together, and you'll have more consequence. So don't be whining and complaining, oh God, why did you do this to me? A bunch of what's doing to you is you doing it to you, me doing it to me.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, it's the best way to stay up to date with all the audio and video talks with Richard, post on the prayer wall, how you can join the team, and even a place where you can ask any questions you have to get straight biblical answers. Check it out, richardellis.com. Finally, we're grateful when you help us with the cost to bring you this program. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website richardellis.com. That's 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.